It's gonna be good.
Hello, my beautiful people. It's me, Jenny D from Spill With Me, Jenny D podcast. I am so excited to have my new guest this week. My guest, Mark Sommer, and I met at the Great Gathering, the Mega Mixer, where there are a lot of people, different businesses in there. And we just started talking, and his smile, it's very contagious, and you want to talk to him. He's very approachable. And we started talking, Mark, right? And all of a sudden we started knowing the same people because we kind of grew up in the same area. And it was just it was inspiring to know that sometimes you go back in your childhood and go, oh, I remember that. I used to go to McDonald's and hang out. I used to go to Kennywood and South Park with my cars. But it was a lot of fun just talking to you. And I'm so glad that we finally have you on my podcast.
Yeah, it was cool catching up and realizing if we go in the time machine, like all these acquaintances that we've had.
And you don't forget those kind of things, you know? I mean, and I forget things that happened the day before, but I don't forget like my childhood and things like that that I've gone through. But I am just so interested in what you do and what you can really help other young people with being an entrepreneur. And so I wanted to, let's go back, Margaret. Exactly. Tell me, what did you want to do? Like, you know how everybody says, what do I want to do when I grow up?
Sure.
What was your biggest thing that when you were a kid?
Well, I didn't really exactly know, of course, but I can tell you. So if I go way back, and I still have copies of my favorite books, and I would have my mom read them to me every day. The Big Book of Real Trucks, The Big Book of Real Trains, and The Big Book of Real Construction Equipment. And from The Big Book of Real Construction Equipment, there was a power wheelbarrow that I was obsessed with, and I see someone using one now. I'm like, I want one. I'm like, get me one for Christmas. But anyway,
where are you gonna park that?
So it was for me. It was always, you know. So those were the books that I loved, and my toys were Tonka trucks, Matchbox cars, big wheels, and I just liked all that kind of mechanical stuff. And I got into, you know, them working on things with my hands, and so that was just, you know, it was just kind of in me, you know, and
we didn't have video games.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have nowadays.
So it was just, you know, and my parents both really encouraged that. You know, we had, you know, the talk in our house was, you know, a lot of times about cars and motorcycles and things. And anyway, so I just gravitated to that. And then when I started to work, well, I wasn't old enough to get a real job, but I got a paper out. And
everybody I know that's our age had a paper route.
And I feel so bad for kids not, because there's so many lessons to be learned with a paper route. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not a job that you get a paycheck at the end of the week.
Right.
So really, when you're a paper boy, you have to be sales, customer service, operations management, and finance. So it's a lot to do when you
think about that.
Yeah,
that's
because,
so true.
And so from that standpoint, the reason the paper route that I had became available was the family that had it, it kind of let it decline.
Yeah.
So I took the paper route, and you realize it was like about every other house was getting the paper.
Yeah. Well, did you throw it to the door?
It was very particular. Someone into the milk box, which people don't even have anymore, right?
Talk about cousins.
This was early 80s, right? So someone into the back door, someone into the front screen door, someone into a milk box, someone in a mail slot. We went a long way. But I realized about only half of the people were getting the paper. And I thought, well, this is really dumb. I'm walking past these houses that aren't getting the paper.
Ooh, here goes the sale.
So I just knock on the door and I say, hey, my name is Mark Sommer. I'm the new paper boy. And would you like to subscribe to the paper? And most of them gave me a chance. And it was because the previous carrier was not doing a great job. So anyway, that was, and to me, it was just like, okay, it makes sense that everyone along my route should get the paper from me.
Yes.
And so,
passing their house.
And then, you know, then we start working, and I always thought, well, we could do this better. We could do that better at a job.
Always thinking outside the box.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just how can we do something better?
Right. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it now, like being a paper boy, but that's where you learned. You learned about responsibility. You learned about how to manage your money and what to do with it. And that's amazing.
And we'll call it like the social business aspect.
Right.
That, okay, when I got my paper out, it had 32 customers. And by the end of that year, I had close to 70 daily and Sunday customers.
So doubled it.
I doubled it. All I did was deliver the paper on time and dry and not ripped. So, but
you get, see, the simple things in life you don't think about.
Right.
People get it on the internet now.
Yeah, you get it. And the way, you know, I learned to manage my, because I had, you have to buy those papers. That's what people don't understand.
Don't even tell me how much a paper was.
Yeah, right. Well, we had, you know, the paper, oh, was, we had to
buy the papers.
See, the papers were delivered to my house. And on Friday, the route manager came to collect the money. Well, if it was $50 a paper for, I needed to have $50 to give him for my papers for the
week.
So it was up to me to collect the money and to pay the bill. So I was an 11-year-old kid when I started that. So you really, that was like the basics of managing a business that I'm nothing special. There was a lot of us that did it, but we all learned that lesson.
Right.
Of like literally the nuts and bolts of managing a business we had from being a paper boy. But those days are long.
11 years old.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So what did you just like in high school? Did you think, oh, I really want to have my own business, or I really want to do something in the, like you were talking about how you love like the construction side of it, or
yeah, more like mechanical
side.
Yeah. So, and I did grow up in a house of business owners. So my dad, All Service Real Estate, he established that in the 80s as a real estate appraisal company. So he's been self-employed since 1986. And my mother had a business called Pro Pen Writing Service, where she wrote kind of company newsletters for people. So that was self-employment, business ownership was just
growing up from your parents.
And so again, then my, you know, and I was with my friends, you know, between bicycles and motorcycles, messing around with cars. It was time to go to college. My first year, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I took some random classes. And
seriously, think about this, Mark. How it's so hard this day and age, in any day and age, to really know what you want to do.
Yep.
Because you don't know your passion because you never really lived and worked at a certain industry or workplace. How would you even know what you enjoy?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really difficult. So I got the first year on my belt with just some random sort of classes, but something really changed. So talking about Brentwood, to remember where Horns was, and then it became the Price department store. Well, they had a book department there.
Century 3 Mall.
And yeah, so this was at Brentwood Whitehall Shopping Center, yeah. Brownsville Road, and I bought a book there that changed my life. So again, car guy, gearhead.
Yeah.
So a
gearhead. What does gearhead mean?
Someone who's a, you know, total mechanical enthusiast, we'll say, but gearhead, like a car guy, you just call him a gearhead. So, of course, I knew who John DeLorean is, because he was the people think about the DeLorean car, but the GTO. So he was the father of the muscle car and all that. And so anyway, there's a book that he wrote with a guy named J. Patrick Wright called On a Clear Day, You Can See General Motors.
So on a clear day,
you can see General Motors. And that book details, goes through John DeLorean's life at General Motors, which then he walked away in 1973. And it was a lot of the good, the bad, and the ugly about General Motors.
I mean, General Motors is the name of the, like, the whole...
That's Chevy, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, GMC, trucks. So, yeah, the big company.
Right.
Yeah. So, that was... During my freshman year, I read that book. That was in the spring semester. And then I said, okay, I'm going to get it together. I want to do something in the mechanical world, but also be in business. And that book was a huge inspiration for that. So anyway, I ended up going to school and studying mechanical engineering technology and then industrial management. So and talking about, things for kids, I've had this talk with some high school students about engineering. So I said, I went to school for mechanical engineering technology. And what engineering technology is, it's far more hands-on than straightforward engineering. So you don't take as much math. You don't take as much science. You have more lab and hands-on.
Okay,
more. And so that's something kids aren't really presented with that as an option.
Right.
And it's something, so if someone who is of that mindset, if they want to, you know, they don't want to take all this calculus, they'll take enough calculus and then have hands-on working with equipment. So
I feel like I'm a hands-on person.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be able to do, you know, to learn and do it that way. Sometimes a textbook or just sitting there.
Yeah, learn. So it's learning by doing, because the classes that we would have class 3 days a week. And then there would be a lab, which would generally be about 3 hours long.
Okay.
Of taking what we learn in class and implementing it.
Yeah.
In somewhat of a real life experience.
And they don't know. It's not like they offer anything like that in high school. I mean, they have chemistry.
Yeah.
That's about, that's all I remember. Biology, chemistry, labs.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they have any other lab.
So there's, you know, I would say what makes someone a great engineer more than their calculus grades is a curiosity for how things work. And that's something I say, that what makes engineering a great field of study is that you can take your hobby and things that you love and make it a living. And that's exactly what I've been able to do.
I like that. Say that again. Engineering is...
it's a way that you can turn your things that you're interested in or your hobby and make it a living. So in other words, you know, for me, it was cars, bicycles, motorcycles. I want to really understand how these things work, how to design a spring, and et cetera, et cetera. So I went for mechanical. Okay, so what if you're someone who's really interested when you drive across a bridge? How did they build that bridge? Well, you go to school for civil engineering. When you turn on the lights, when you turn on the computer, your phone, I'm really curious how this works. I should study electrical engineering. So you can really take
this. I didn't even know there were so many different like engineering.
Yeah. And chemical engineering. So when you do your laundry, how did they come up with the formulation for this detergent to make my clothes clean? Well, that's chemical engineering.
Yeah.
So there's so many ways, if you're a curious person, that you could go.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So now tell us, so you were in college, you came out of school. Now, did you know, like, okay, this is, where did you go first? Because how do you,
I started
a job.
Yeah. So, and you know what was funny? The economy was not great. So I finished up in December of 93. I had an associate degree in mechanical engineering technology, bachelor degree in industrial management. It was hard to find a job.
A title.
Yeah. It's all these two degrees. And the economy was not good. I mean, now, a young person with that combination, they're going to have companies beating down the door for them.
Yeah.
Where the economy just was not very good at that time. So anyway, basically my progression working for lots of different companies along the way was working as an application engineer. And what application engineering is, I've never designed anything in my life. So what application engineering is really taking devices that already exist and applying them and, you know, figuring out, okay, there's this problem that someone's trying to solve. Okay, if I use this, and we put them together or size them in the right way. So it's really, you got to have a good technical background. It's not true hardcore engineering, like designing a spring kind of thing, but it is taking things that are already available
and applying
them properly.
Right.
And so, and then from there, I've had roles and technical outside sales roles, which is basically going into, this has all been industrial. And so going to customer sites, whether it's oil and gas, power generation, chemical, steel, a lot of just in the process.
This is a good town for it too.
Oh yeah.
Because we're steel town.
Yeah, for sure. And now with oil and gas, that's really what my business is based on now, is really focused on oil and gas compression specifically. But yeah, so I've had
changing so much, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Compared to, if you think about where you came from coming out of college and getting into this, you know, doing like sales and stuff, it's changed so much.
Oh yeah. It was, and the big industries that we were serving were steel in coal mining.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the coal mining equipment. So the actual machines that go underground, take the coal miners in, what are called the shears.
I always wonder about, like, I used to hear it on the news sometimes about, like, what's happening with somebody that goes down there or they get, I mean,
oh, yeah.
My gosh, I can't even imagine.
I've never been underground because I'm too claustrophobic.
Me too.
That was like,
I'll stay up here.
It stayed on the surface, but yeah, so we would do work on the equipment.
I give them credit.
It actually cut the coal and took it out of the ground.
Oh, wow. So you were a part of that.
On the equipment side, yes, yeah. not a miner, but yeah. And so then just over time, you know, I just was like, there was a couple people that came to me and said, hey, if you'd ever go into business for yourself, we'd like to work with you.
Wow. So they already saw that.
And I was having, and the thought was already in my mind. And then I figured out a way to do a couple things. And I before I'd go to, you know, so what I had to do was, you know, so the business that I have, it's being...
So you thought about this. You thought, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I can do something on my own.
But I needed to have, and, you know, I had been working for others for 25 years before going
off. So this didn't just happen.
No. So it was 5 years ago. So I'd been working for others for 25 years. And, you know, the difference in not just the industrial world, but in the business to business world versus business to consumer.
Yeah.
Is that you can't just rent a space and have a product that people want. You put your sign up, say grand opening, and people just start coming in, right? Business to business, it's you have to have these relationships that you can trust that, okay, I'm going to go into business for myself. My revenue are $0. So you can't just start from scratch. You have to have people who are already on your team or in your tribe that if you know that they would support you.
Exactly.
That I talked to, you know, customers and said, hey, if I go off on my own,
yeah,
here's what I'm thinking of doing. And they say, you know what? You got us as a customer. So you got to kind of have that part of it lined up.
Relationships.
Totally. And it was, you know, decades in the making. And then, you know, I'll still never forget all credit to my wife, Audra, because when I was like, okay, it's time. Because she had encouraged.
You were taking a risk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Audra has been self-employed since 2009.
So she's been doing
2010. And she came from an entrepreneurial family. Her family owned, it was called the Schwarzmiller Company, that they built steel commercial buildings. Like a good example, you'd probably know the Castle Shannon Fire Hall. That was a Schwarzmiller building. So they did the engineering, design, and construction.
So wait, you married someone who was in the kind of that has knowledge about the field that you're in?
A little, yeah, yeah. So she knew.
That's interesting.
So yeah, so we both came from families that were self-employed. Mm-hmm. So and Audra self-employed. She beat me to the punch. And when I came to her and I said, hey, honey, you know what? It's time. I'm going to do it. I figured out a way. I'm going to start my own business.
And you have to have that support with
her. And she didn't say, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? No, she said, that is such a relief. I've been waiting so long to hear that from you.
That is so nice.
Yeah. So,
because you need encouragement. You need someone in your corner. And the person who you're living with every day and have a family with, you know, they're your best
friend. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're not on your side or they're saying, come on, you know, we need it. You can't do this. She was like, do it.
She knew the risk that I was saying. But, you know, she lived with, you know, her parents were risk takers. They had, you know, their business and, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also this industrial sales, we'll call it being a manufacturer's representative or providing distribution. So what this like the business is that there are manufacturers that they're really good at making stuff, but then they need people to be the application engineers and ultimately sell it.
Improving them.
But instead of them hiring all these people all over the country, they'll get people like me and other, you know, so they, what they call, you know, manufacturer's representatives. So you're essentially the local arm of this company who makes these devices.
Okay. And are you just doing the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah. So it depends. Yeah. So basically, you know, in the oil and gas, we'll call it the Appalachian Basin. But yeah, for the most part, it's, you know, West Virginia, Ohio into New York, and north.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So 5 years, let me take me back a little
bit,
Mark. I'm sorry. So 25 years you were working for other people,
right,
and you were establishing your, you know, your credentials, your resume, and you were learning, and you brought a lot to the table and decided, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Is this during COVID?
No, it was before. So
wow.
It was May of 2019 is when I made the decision. And when I had my LLC went into effect, it was like December 13th, 2019. And my first day live with the business, it was like, I don't know, January 10th, 14th, something.
See, we remember
that. I always share the first day on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to my hero, John DeLorean, I have this ad and I have a big poster of it in my office that it says, one out of every 100 businesses fail. Here's to those who take the odds. And so I share that.
Wait a minute. I like that.
I'll send you the good.
Yeah, send
me. One out of 100 businesses make it. Here's to those who take the odds.
I love that.
Yeah. So, and Ray, so yeah, there was definitely some doubt during the, you know, a business startup.
There's so many business.
And then the COVID, I mean, I'll never forget. I was supposed to have a meeting. It was Friday morning, March 13th, 2020. And I pulled into the parking lot of the facility I was going to. And there were no vehicles in the parking lot. And just as I pulled in, I got a text from the guy I was supposed to meet. He said, "Hey, Mark, I forgot to call you. We got an email last night at 11:30 that said we're going to be working from home for the next 2 weeks." So, call it. Remember, middle of March.
Everybody remembers that.
It was
day.
2 weeks.
Oh.
So, but yeah, so that, you know, that was a challenge, but you figure some things out.
Yeah.
And yeah, just keep it going, you know.
That's the thing that, like, you know, you take that risk. And the scary part about it is that you don't know, like, okay, now we don't know how long this is going to last. You know, they were shutting down a lot of people working from home. And it was like, and you and I, like, I like the face to face. You know, I'm old school.
Yeah.
You know, I like to, a lot of the people, I guess, sometimes they are remote, so I have to do
Zoom, sure.
You know, which is fine. You know, I know, I understand out of state, but you know, it is, it's a risk, but you kept going.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just have to do things like embrace the remote meetings, which are now just part of life.
Right. We're used to it now.
Yeah. I had two this morning. I had one at 9 and one at 10.
Yeah.
And it's just because it does, everyone starts to realize. And these are all people who have known for a long time. So instead of me traveling to them traveling to me, hey, we can have this half hour talk, but at least the video is part of it. So, yeah, so I just started, you know, okay, this is how it is. I got to just regroup, do things a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so just stuck with it, basically.
So you're now that it's 2024,
yeah,
where is your business now and how is it coming along?
Yeah, so everything, you know, we are on plan.
Just like four and a half years.
Yeah, so this is the
beginning. Week is March 13th.
Right,
well, this
exactly.
This is going to air in another
piece. Yeah.
It probably April, but yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, so everything is on track. You know, when I started, so this is one of the things I would say to people if you're thinking of doing things on your own, is that if you look into the manufacturer's rep business, it's very, you don't need much capital to start. So I literally started with a phone, a computer, my granddad Summer's old desk, and a vehicle.
Yeah.
That was paid for. So, and then after, I don't know, a couple months, I got a little office in the Bethel Park Industrial Park.
Oh, nice.
Just because I wanted, I'm very blue collar, that I want to get up and have a place to go to work.
Yeah.
So
it is hard. I work from home a lot, but I'll come to the library or I'll go places because it is really hard to work from home.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And the distractions.
And then in that time, you know, then in 2022, moved to a bigger facility right down the street in Bethel Park. We have warehouse space and
nice.
So forth. And
do you have employees now?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many do you have?
Two.
Yeah. I'm thinking he's going to say two.
No.
That's perfect.
Well, so in the rep and distribution business is that the companies that you represent, they have a lot of the people that you need support from. They're employed by that manufacturer. So it's a little bit different. Yeah. It's a different
sort of business. This is all new to me, this kind
of stuff. Yeah, the manufacturer's rep business is very, it's like in this industrial niche. So most people don't know about
We see these jobs and we see these titles of people. And a lot of times, you know, and if I don't understand it, then I'm like, oh, well, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
But you're really like educating me on just, you know, I see, oh, I'm going to school to be an engineer. I didn't know there were so many different facets of being an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like, so the manufacturer rep business is, it's really, you're not an employee of them, but of the manufacturer, but it allows them to have coverage all over the country, but they're not adding W-2 employees. You know, whether it's you're a distributor that you buy equipment from them and resell it, or that the people buy direct from the manufacturer and you get compensated for.
I know that. For,
yeah.
Now, do you think, would you say it's a passion? Do you like what you do?
I really
what
do.
What is the biggest thing you come away from? Like, you come home and you say to your wife and your kids, and you're like, I had a great day today. Like, I'm so glad this happened. Or, like, what are the kind of rewards of that?
So, you know, come back to the mechanical geek gearhead thing. So, with the equipment, that is the focus of that we look after. We provide, we call it aftermarket solution, aftermarket technology. So there's multi-million dollar pieces of equipment that are running, mm-hmm. and there's problems with them. So this isn't stuff like just breaking down. This is improvements that can be made from their efficiency, from the emissions that they create, the reliability of them, and all of these things. So when we can identify problems that folks are having and help them by providing equipment, technologies that make their life better. And that's really what it's about. And that, to me, that's also about hiring people, is that, you know, if you can people have better lives.
Right.
And then with our customers, if there's this problem, a lot of times that their equipment may have, and they just think, well, I just have to live with it.
So, and you say equipment, Mark. I'm sorry. What do you mean?
Like, so this is generally natural gas compression equipment.
Ooh.
So this would be
natural.
So the natural gas compressors, these are the machines that move the gas through the pipelines.
Okay.
And they're very large. So, okay, your car is probably, let's say, a 3.5 liter. Engine. Okay.
I'm learning here.
The engines are really the bulk of where we start are a 70 liter and up to 300 liters.
Oh, so my God.
They're huge.
You lost
they're bigger than the room that we're sitting in by far.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you have to climb steps to change parts on them.
And thank God for people like you that have all this stuff, because we need that. We need to know about this. What you're saying is your gratification, and when you come home from a day, it makes you happy that your customers have a solution.
Yeah.
That things worked out.
Absolutely. A lot of times that if there's something that there's just an issue with machine that they think, well, that's just the way it is, I have to deal with. But if I can identify, oh, have you ever thought of trying this? Oh, no, I didn't even know we could do it. Hey, do you want to give it a try? And like, there's a lot of things that I do. We'll do field trials, because I don't want to just, I'm not a salesman, you know.
Yes. You're hands on. That's what I like about it.
And I just like identifying problems, and I think I offer some cool ways, some neat equipment.
Yes.
So I get it's fun for me. So
that's what I love to learn about new people and about what they do, because I can see the passion and you know so much. And I'm like, I'm getting like a lesson right here, learning about
it. I like the business aspect of it too. I mean, that's why. So just, in, you know, when I was like the kid paper boy, and that I didn't skip past these houses to get the paper. Not, hey, you have a problem. The problem is you don't get the paper. I'm the solution. I deliver them to
you.
This
is a convenience. I'm going to have it to your house.
I really just do the same thing.
It's full circle.
Yeah. 30 years later, I just do the same
thing. And it's so funny that you identified that and you knew that, because a lot of us, you know, we think about what we did as a childhood, and we were talking about this off air. And what we found out is that both of us like to have our hands in it. Like, yeah. we don't want to shove you off to like somebody else. And we're sitting at the big desk and, you know, we're the president and we don't leave our desk. No,
yeah.
We want to be there, like present. We want people to meet us and see that we are working hard. Get your hands dirty.
Yeah. I mean, and even, you know, my shop, my office doesn't even have doors. You have to walk through my office to get to the warehouse and the shop area. And I did that intentionally because it's just open.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are times there will be a freight delivery of equipment coming to us. I hear the doorbell ring and I'll yell up to the front, "Hey, Jesse, don't worry, I got it," because I might have been at my desk for 2 hours.
And you're gonna get up.
I'm happy to roll off that floor and grab the pallet jack and unload a truck and talk to the truck driver. It just, you know, like when I was at
I'm a people person.
It was fun unloading trucks then. And you know, 35 years later. So I'm doing my super geek stuff at my desk and then the doorbell rings. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll go unload that truck.
Yeah. And I love that, Mark, because I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, these kids are going, and this is the other thing. I want you to give a little advice to the younger audience of, you know, pursuing their dreams, and they really don't know. Like we said, we didn't know what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I wanted to get into TV and radio, so I went to Westminster for broadcasting. But, you know, until like COVID hit, is when I realized I need to do something. I need to help people because I need to have a platform for people to share these amazing stories and about where they came from and what they're doing now and how they're impacting other people. And embracing who we really are.
Yeah.
Like, so tell us a little bit about, like, what would you tell, you know, a young woman or young man that it actually wants to get into engineering or actually wants to do something with mechanics?
Sure.
What would you say to them?
So a couple ways could go. There are lots of kids who have been pushed into engineering because...
Money.
Well, money's okay. You can actually make a lot more money doing other things.
Right.
Are
you going to enjoy it?
Yeah. So there are you have to have that curiosity. You can be great at math and science, but if you don't have that curiosity, I've given this advice to kids is.
What do you do? Do you speak at places?
I have a couple times. Yeah.
Where do you speak?
I have the Peters Township High School. And I just recently I did at Central Pennsylvania Institute.
What's it called?
This was about careers in gas compression. But yeah, just in general of having, you know, talks about engineering. Okay. And again, I've never been a real engineer. You have to have a professional engineering license.
Okay.
So there are things that I do all the time for customers that, hey, we need to figure this out. And I will lay it out, draw it up, and hand it to them and say, okay, now you have to take this to your engineering firm. Here's the concept. And they have to size the pipe correctly. They have to select the fittings. They have to do all that stuff. I'll just give this concept. So you have to have a 4-year engineering degree, which I don't. I have a 2-year engineering technology degree. So if you have to get an engineering degree, take the EIT test, which is engineer in training, and work for someone who has a professional engineer license for X amount of years, and you keep taking tests.
A lot to it.
Oh, yeah. And then you are a professional engineer. So that is like the people who can sign off that this bridge is not going to collapse. Yes. That's like that level. And then also things like I said, like the piping that I get involved in.
Right.
That someone who needs to have a PE, they have to stamp it that they're a professional engineer. Okay. Long way around, but the kids, if they're great at math and science and don't have that curiosity for how things work, my advice would be go into finance and make a lot of money. Now, the kids that do have that math and science and the curiosity, go into engineering. Maybe if you're not as academically oriented, I just didn't want to take a bunch of math classes.
Right.
So I went engineering technology. So it's that kind of in between being a technician and being an engineer. It's literally an engineering technician is what you're called when you have an associate degree. Right. That's what I have. So it's, yeah, understand engineering concepts, but you can also work with your hands. And if you don't want to do that, you know, in the industrial world, there are some really incredible opportunities for young people if they go to the tech schools and the trade schools, which maybe, you know, would have, there are some very good ones. And, but there's also lots of companies that are also, they'll take people on now and teach them their way.
Right. So they need people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's just a lack of, there's a lot of opportunities in the trades, whether it's for, you know, residential electrician or industrial electrician.
We talked to our son about that.
Yeah. So there was a lot of,
yeah.
And so that's just something like most people don't think about the industrial world.
Right.
Because there is something other than the consumer world that you're not really aware of. But
no, we just think it just works when it works.
Yeah. And, you know, so like I said, you know, that when I read On a Clear Day, you can see General Motors. And that is a book that I always have used that as my guidelines for business. And I've read that book. I just read it again. I've read it 8 times now in the last 34 years. Yeah. So first time when I was 19 and then read, you know, there's just so many lessons to be learned about what to do and what not to do.
It's almost like, you know, kids should read, you know, certain kind of books if they want to get into the field and kind of hear from somebody else's perspective and what they've gone through. And you today, by talking about this and, you know, where you came from, what you're doing now, it's amazing. And you can tell that you really like what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's what, and that's the other thing is we also found each other on LinkedIn. So, you know, if you're looking for, is there any, not advice, but if somebody was looking for someone like you that wanted to talk to you, you know, kind of just talk about engineering or talk about what you do.
Yeah.
So being a part of what you do.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to find me that way is on LinkedIn, Mark Sommer, S-O-M-M-E-R.
Yeah.
And just find me on LinkedIn. And love to have a conversation.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, because you know, you really intrigued me and really had me like wondering, like, what is this about? And that's a great thing about learning new things and learning where people's other passion is and how they're like helping. And we don't even see because they're behind the scenes. There's probably so many things that you've done in this world that we don't even know about because we don't talk about it, you know? And it's just, I just praise you.
Oh, thanks.
And I really appreciate you being on School with Me.
Yeah, it's been great. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Yeah. Is there anything else would you like to tell the listeners?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground. Yeah, it was all good. So, I mean, the takeaways are, you know, if you can follow your passion, figure out a way to make a living, you know, you'll never work a day in your life. So, you know, maybe the thing that got me to the industrial mechanical world was, you know, my stuff that I still do with cars and bicycles and motorcycles, but I just love machinery in general. And I've figured out a way to
incorporate that,
figure out a way to, you know, make a life by messing around with machinery.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I love it. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you,
Jenny D. Take care. Come spill with me. Come spill.